Pray. Heavenly Father, again we invoke your blessing upon us. Which blessing we know from this masterpiece of a message we're studying these days. Your great blessing, Lord, would be the restored, revealed words to us, which constitutes that great difference in the elect and non-elect. And Father, we realize that this is what has forerun the rapture, the second coming even, is the shout, the descent, the word of God. May we declare it exactly as the prophet said it, and may we emphasize it exactly with the same meaning that he gave it when you gave it to him. Help us in this end, Lord, that we know all shall be well with our souls, for that life shall be released from the word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, this is number 3 of the Anointed Ones of the End Time, and in this message, Brother Branham points out that his text in Matthew 24:24 teaches there will be those with a genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost upon them, and then in turn, they will be false prophets to it, and they are false teachers of it. So that's what this text sets forth. All right? They'll have a genuine anointing of the Holy Spirit. Make no mistake about it. The anointing itself is genuine. The gifts are genuine attributes or gifts of the Holy Spirit or energies of the Holy Ghost himself. But those men who will be called false prophets because they will be false teachers of it, which is the anointing or of the Holy Ghost himself. He then asks the question, what would make a man want to be a false teacher to the truth? Now, of course you know they'll deny that, because, as the scripture says, they have deceived themselves and are deceiving others. Now, they get that way through denominationalism. He brings this out by showing that an orange tree can bear lemons, grapefruit, and other citrus fruit because of being grafted into an orange tree. Now, you understand what we're talking about, that the tree itself, designated being orange, and the church being designated as being that which is inspired and enlightened, as Brother Branham used that term, quickened by the Holy Ghost, does not necessarily bring forth the fruit, the real fruit of what that life is, but can bring forth something else in spite of the life, because it is not a part of the original, it is grafted in. And therefore, you can see what we're talking about, organization, which is the work of man, is in contradistinction to that which is of God. So, it is the churches and men bear false witness to the very Christ they are supposed to honor by teaching error. The church starts out with the life and truth and then bears witness to that life by denying the power of God. See, it starts out and then it goes off track. Then false baptisms are instituted along with other deviations from the truth or corruptions of the word. They would not do this if their revelation was correct. In other words, the revelation in the individual is superior to and mightier than any other force, so therefore the revelation would have to be wherein lies the effectiveness of God. I can't repeat that because I didn't write it down. You have to get the tape. What I'm trying to show you is this. This revelation will get you there. And that's what grace is. Grace is accepting what God has to give you. As Brother Branham said, a pardon is not a pardon. The Supreme Court said, the pardon is not a pardon unless it's accepted as such. It's all right. They would not do this if their revelation was correct. But revelation depends upon election. Thus only the true believer, wheat, can be anointed to a true witness of Christ. And that witness is the truly revealed word as its basis. So today what the church needs is a fresh revelation from God. Everybody's talking revival. Renewal. Ha! How would you real Christians like to be renewed as to what you formerly were? Buttergum. Buttergum. Gutterbums. Got that backwards. Infidels. No, why did I get renewed to that? See, they presuppose you already have the life and want another shot of it. You can't do that, Brother Sister. Renew? Renew. No, and they say, let's get the mud cleared away. So? What if the mud is in the eye and the mind refuses to perceive blindness? Renew? Revival? Restoration. Wretched, miserable, blind, naked, have need of everything, so let's go to the source of everything. See, you can't get them to believe that. So today what the church needs is a fresh revelation from God, and that comes when John 14:12 is fulfilled, a fresh branch appearing from Christ the root, which they do not believe, but merely mean to believe. Now that many of us are here doing it, this constitutes the greater works. Because there are more of us doing it, therefore there are many more works spread abroad. But the Bible says, him, not they. See, one word off, right? One word off, it's gone. The whole picture is changed by one word off. They, instead of him, it's him, individual, singular. At that time, others will live by the same life, but be false to the truth, for they won't receive the revelation, but seek only the power. Now that sounds a little bit wrong, in a certain way it is, but it is not wrong because the prophet said it. Others at that time will live by the same life. Paul himself said, in him we live and move and have our being. That is true. The Creator plus his continuing power to maintain us. However, at this time, he's speaking of the church's existence whereby the church claims to be representing Jesus Christ by saying, here these manifestations are there, therefore we have to be right. Their failure to receive the revelation is typed by Cain and Abel, to whom Brother Branham refers as the two vines, one true and one false. The only reason Abel could do different from Cain was by a revelation that Cain could not receive. It was the same at the time of Christ. The majority could not receive the revelation of God manifest in human flesh. For Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And today people cannot receive the revelation of Malachi 4, 5, and 6. They cannot do it. Because they do not feel they have any need. And the question comes up, why should they feel they have any need except there's a revelation? Why would they feel inadequate when they show every single manifestation, but they are liars of it? See? So, we have great cause to rejoice, according to page 14, paragraph 56, where we recap for one little script, one little paragraph. No wonder they couldn't see him. That's couldn't see Christ, God manifest in human flesh. Pharisees, scribes, and so on. No man, now why couldn't they? Because no man can come to the Father except the Father draw him. Or except the Father himself drew him. No, they couldn't come. And all the Father hath given me in the roots shall come to me, shall be drawn, because that is the destiny. See, you get it? Oh, how we should love him, adore him, and praise him, to see the fruit of the Spirit in the last days in a bride tree ripening in the top of the time. And what is the fruit? It is the revelation of the word for this hour. Now, let's just go back to Revelation chapter 5, 1 to 13, just to see what happens at this particular time, and we should pattern after it, because what happens in the heavens is for us to enter into. 5, 1 to 13. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Now it takes a man to do it, and if some man can't do it, then everybody's going to remain mum and glum and go into a state of abject rejection by God. Complete undoneness. Okay. And I wept much. And John knew this, so he starts to cry. And his tears were very copious. In other words, uncontrolled. He just could not help himself sobbing that this was the end of everything he had hoped for. The same man that said, the word of life that we saw, that we handled, we're telling you, you can have fellowship, hallelujah, everything great, 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 wonderful, glory to God. Never had us a good, can't you see it, folk? Come on in, bless God, say, wham! Wiped out. Gone. I just meant, I thought that when he died and he rose again and said forth the Holy Ghost, that was it. You thought wrong. Nobody wants to think those thoughts. Nobody wants to think those thoughts. It is finished. Hallelujah. Who said it was finished in those terms? You can deny him who speaketh from heaven just before the fire falls. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 12. Then believe it. Don't get some comfort from some stupid Pentecostal, Nazarene, Baptist, Presbyterian, Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox, God knows what, who covers his lies and his hypocrisy. Because he won't take the whole word of God. Women preachers especially. No good old Calvinist ever had a woman preacher. Your Armenians. They never understood. Grace never will because they can't take it. Grace is to take, take, take. And you don't deserve it. And when you misapprehend the understanding of grace, then you think, oh, hallelujah, I was such and such. And so he gave it because I'm so wonderful. Hogwash. A skunk is a gentleman at a garden party alongside of you, you old goat. Tell the truth. That's what we're here for. And he said, I wept much because I was washed out. And I couldn't even look at the book. Oh, he anointed my eyes. I can see. Hallelujah. Shut up, John. Sit down. I got a better revelation. Just roll over and play dead. Think so? So think of how are we going to get this worked out? Now, there's this book. Oh, I tell you, the book of Revelation only barely got in the canon by about one voice. So let's just rip it out. Go ahead, rip it out. Here goes your New Jerusalem. Well, I didn't quite mean that. What did you mean quite? See, look at you. See where you're going? Take a word or add a word? Oh, John, why don't you just shut up and quit crying? That man wept uncontrollably. Let me just go back here. Let me read it for you. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled to the word of life, for the life was manifested. We have seen and bear witness and show you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, and these things we write that you join me in. But he said, hold it. I just got wiped out. I'm not being dramatic up here. I'm just telling you the truth. John says, I'm wiped out. And one of the elders said to me, a fellow a little older and wiser than John, who really knew the plan of God, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has not finished doing for you everything he wants to do, and in the way he wants to do it, just hold steady. Because he prevailed and he's still prevailing. And he's availing. The prevailing is available. That's grace. Not come and get it if you can do something. No. Hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals of seven's completion. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now comes a revelation, you see. Comes a revelation of he who was and is and shall be, and delineating strictly upon what you will see in the future and in this hour. Those seven mighty ones come on down. Well, see, I don't choose to believe that. That's just a photograph. That's somebody's imagination. Well, glory to God. You have it your way. I'll have it mine. Let's see who wins. vindicated prophet. I like, hallelujah, I like that. Right, that's the reason to shout. I haven't got to the shout yet. We just talking up here, just letting the thing take its course. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, went right to the pillar of fire. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 others fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, incense, you know, and good perfumes and things, which are the prayers of the saints. In other words, those prayers concerning this could not be answered. They would lie dormant even with the effectual ministry of the intercessor unless he did something else. Contingent to what he'd already done, because it must run in continuity. The cross has not yet paid out its power, brother, sister, never will. The blood has never lost its power. No, I will take exception to anybody who tries to denigrate the blood for 1 minute. And when he had taken the book, the four others fell down, so on. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. Now here's another facet of the worthiness of the Christ. And it could not open to the people until this moment. You think, oh, hallelujah, I love him and I could praise him. You have never been able to praise him like this until this moment. I don't care who you say you are. I had a revelation. I saw him. I don't care if you did. I don't care if you did. There's coming a time when every tongue is going to praise him. We haven't got that far yet. When every knee shall bow, we haven't got that far yet. It's an ever-augmenting plan. Escalating. The greatness of God being shown to us. So, now, worthy to take the book and open the seals here. What a tremendous thing that must be. Honored by God in the midst of the throne on the right hand of majesty as the mediator, intercessor, for roughly 2,000 years, and suddenly, now it steps up. How does a king step up? A king is a king is a king. A queen is a queen is a queen. Like a horse is a horse is a horse. And God is God is God. And Jesus is Jesus is Jesus. And you say, well, all right, there it is. No, it isn't there. It isn't there. You and I have been certainly shown what we were, what we are in Christ. We've got a blueprint. But nobody but God can give us the blueprint of himself and show the multiplied facets, the multiplicity of the facets, of the grace and glory of Almighty God, which surpasses anything and keeps surpassing anything. No, you talk about a Roman candle. There's nothing will touch this. And so the saints have a new song. We have a new song now. I think this church is a good example. We go right to the Scripture and sing the Scriptures, all centering on the Lamb. I still am bigoted and arrogant enough to believe that we have something here that a lot of people want. That was pretty nice, wasn't it? Without going too far. I believe not because I'm here. No, nothing to do with me. It has to do with the Word. That's all. You honor the Word. You also honor the vessel, which is not worth honoring except it is a vessel. And you know my stand on that. I don't try to sell you any hot cakes and hot soap. It's the truth. They sung a new song. And the song said, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation. So therefore, this what he did is a part of redemption. It's that which comes out of the blood and the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it wouldn't be complete without this, to this point. Ha! There are many points. The conditions of the rapture, my brother, sister, are threefold. Shout, voice, trumpet. You're looking like literally wedding supper here. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Without the opening of the book, the seven seals, the consummation, the thunders, whoever is going to do it, there would be no rain upon the earth. But Jesus himself comes down and says in the third chapter, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice from the door, I'll come to sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also he came and has sat down with my Father in his throne.
Because when he ripped the seals off the book, the Father vacated the throne and the Son climbed upon the throne. And he became truly then the great Melchizedek as he never was before. In other words, the potential came into manifestation. And as you and I receive what was done in heaven through the authentic, vindicated voice of a God-given prophet, then we are partakers of that and in no other way. Why? Because nobody else believes it. Nobody else has it. How can you receive revelation as such as given to you? You're going to cook it up yourself? Well, could be a good old Swedenborg. You got Swedenborgs down at Christ of Philadelphia Church, right here in Urbana. A hot spot of iniquity, a den of hell. Maniacal visions. Devil inspired. What was he on? Drugs, booze, or just a complete nut? People believe hogwash. And then turn down a legitimate prophet of God. Shows where they are. What a mess. And the universalists. Getting front page notice for handing out prophylactics in church. To ward off AIDS. Get the people back to God and morals. And they'll never get back to God and morals, brother, sister. It's gone. It's gone. I'm going to tell you, don't waste your time praying. You sigh and cry because sin is in the world like old poor old Lot in the gates. And you're just fed up with it. You're fed up with the guy full of it. You're fed up with yourself. You're fed up with everything. And you're ready to call it quits. Live or die, sink or swim. This is it and I'm getting out of here. Forget it. Who cares? You say, that's an awful attitude. You think so? Where are you going to go and get another one? What kind of attitude do you want? Well, hell, I'm alive unto God. That's true, but the other guys think so too. They sang a song. Now, what happens in heaven must happen on earth. So therefore, the opening of the seals had predicated and establishes the new song. In other words, I don't know what it all means. I'm not going to spell it out like a song, but just they sang a new song. And if you're not singing a new song, which would be, you have to sing what the revelation is. Then go back to the old songs. I don't see any point in doing that. So, it's a time for great rejoicing. You get it. Oh, how we should love Him and adore Him, praise Him, to see the fruit of the Spirit in the last days in a bride tree ripening in the top of the time. In other words, the Word of God coming to full effect and maturity. Comes to full effect and maturity in the last vindicated prophet to a last vindicated people. And the vindication is one and only thing. No matter what is produced, where do you stand in the Word? See? The true vine and the false vine have the same anointing. They had the same anointing. The water fell on both. Quoting now from the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and also Hebrews 6. Was it Matthew 5:45 and Hebrews 6, 1 to about 10, 11. No wonder he warned us that it would deceive the very elected if it were possible. Now, I want to read right through. Notice, they look the same, they're anointed the same, but notice, by their fruit. How do you know it? How do you know that isn't an orange because it's bearing a grapefruit? That vine's all right. It's living in the tree, but it's bearing a grapefruit. It isn't the first one. It isn't like the first one. And if the church says it believes Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and deny His power, denies work, denies word, cuts off, the church that believes in Jesus Christ will do the works of Jesus Christ. It'll have the life of Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't, and if it isn't, any dash, no matter if the life is pouring into it, if it isn't predestined from the roots, it'll bear great fruit every time or something different. But it's the predestinated life in the roots. But if it's the predestinated life in the roots, it'll bear Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's the Word coming up through the root, which is the root, the beginning of time. Now, I'm going to read it the way I understand this, so you just bear with me. And if you think I'm wrong, you do what you want about it. Look, I have no problem. Now, notice, they look the same. What look the same? The two branches. Can name two branches. The two branches look the same. How many of you people can tell a grapefruit branch from an orange branch? I never bothered to find out, to really look. I doubt if I could tell. I don't know. But if there's a statement made here about branches. They look the same. They're anointed the same. Then, let me add this, that to all but the perfect, That's those the initiated. Those that have the revelation of the hour in its fullness. To all people but them, these branches look exactly the same, and for all intents and purposes, they are the same. You follow? Okay, understand that then. However, they differ in the in the mind or the word. So therefore, what you are looking for is not something obvious that goes by appearance. You've got to go deeper and find what's the motivation. And the motivation will have to be based upon an authority other than life. In other words, there's dog life, there's bird life, there's pig life, there's horse life. But each life is different, and it determines exactly what is in the exterior. So you could put all those lives side by side, and unless you could find what's in the genes, you wouldn't know exactly what's behind it. That's what he's actually saying here. You've got exterior manifestation, and there's coming a light. But there's something that's different, even though it's that life. There's a genetic pattern there. There's something behind it. That is what we call foreordination. I can't express myself too perfectly here because there's no way I can do it. I'm just trying to get to you. Now, I'm saying the external, then, is what you can't look at. You've got to go deeper, and you've got to go to the internal. So let's go to a bit of scripture on that. And we'll start with John 7 and 24 to get what we're talking about. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. What I saw him doing. Don't tell me they say there's any difference between Oral Roberts and William Branham and this and that and the other thing. Let's understand that. William Branham, of course, was a crackpot. Now, Oral's been, of course, a crackpot, too. At least Tommy Osborne. Where is he hoofed off to, France? Nobody knows he's even done. That gives us Leroy Jenkins. Oh, brother. He's even filthy. That bird. See what I could tell him. Well, maybe you can't. Maybe he's got something nobody knows about, something deeper. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, what would righteous judgment be? According to the Bible, at the end time, after Elijah comes and not before, and remember the same spirit of Elijah was on Jesus the Christ, and it's the same spirit we have today, which is our true Elijah. Remember, it's after Elijah comes, they can discern between the righteous and the wicked, and know what is unrighteousness and what is righteousness. And unrighteousness absolutely is being off the word. So therefore, what lies behind the life is the genetic pattern, which is the word. So therefore, it doesn't matter what you see today. You cannot figure it by what you see. You have got to be told what's behind it. Like I told you, I saw what they were doing out there for years. And I wouldn't stoop to do it for 15 seconds. Not because I'm anybody nice. It's just because something in me says, hey, you can't do that. There's no way. So I told my wife, I said, look, you're blonde, so I got to leave you and get myself a brunette and a Cadillac and live like the devil. Go to hell on four wheels, maybe God will bless me. I was looking for the wrong thing. I thought I had a great healing ministry, which was pretty good while I was using it. Some discernment, which Brother Van said was very good, but I had some error. A lot of you genuine, which was true. Visions, correct. And I thought that was it. It wasn't it. And the more I got to the word, the more the other left. Now I'm not against the other anymore. But it's just I'm not interested. Because there's a higher interest. There's a genetic pattern. That if I can get to the genesis and be a part of the root, then what does it matter about the rest? God puts in me what he has need of for his glory. I want all you men and women sitting here this morning to understand that. You know, Pentecost left a terrible imprint upon women. They'd be flaming evangelists, like Telganov told us in this very church at that one time. He became the first flaming evangelist after he got kissed and seduced by the devil.
Wasn't that nice? The first flaming of a woman. Yeah. You ought to be glad God gave you the part he gave you. Took you right out of those things. You don't have to try to shine at being a spouter of the Bible and all those things. And I use that term because most women want to just spout the Bible. If you could have just read in your heart, you're not spouting, you're saying the truth. Because you're meek and sober, you know your position, which is being a good wife and good mother. And there's even something beyond that. And that's even, as many women and men have given up marriage even to just serve the Lord all the more. They're not queer ducks or anything else. Those people are not eunuchs by themselves. They're usually eunuchs of God. The Bible says some make themselves eunuchs, which means they simply abstain. The Catholic Church tried to be celibate and you end up with the priest getting AIDS. Filling the schools with their illegitimate children, which they've done for years. In Montreal, they dug up a basement of a former convent, babies' bones down there by the tubfuls. Don't smart off with God. Brother, sister, we're in days we got to get back to the pattern, back to the genetics, back to the root. And remember, everything comes out of God, good, bad, and indifferent. Where'd the devil come from? He was perfect in all his ways. Mature, he was right there until the iniquity was found. He knew to do different, but he did otherwise. What a mess people find themselves in. See? Sure. It's all there. Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. That's another little thought here that I've put down in my notes here. We should might look at it. Hopefully with profit. 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Now these were people trying to denigrate the old Apostle Paul. And they looked at the outward appearance. Old Kentucky hillbilly. Stoop-shouldered, runny, little, hook-nosed, beady-eyed, bald-headed bird going down the road. Couldn't speak with a plug nickel. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Now right there, just like Paul, William Branham was in the same stature, God-given authority was bestowed upon him, not to destroy the people, to take away what they thought they had, but to give them something to get them there. And they said, who needs you, you stupid little Kentucky hillbilly? Not that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters, as they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. What do you think Brother Brand kept you and say, hey, told fetch, and so on? Talk about whole cakes. Who in the world knows what a whole cake is, except a Kentucky hillbilly? It's a little bonfire you build when you're hungry out there, and you take your hole, and you put a cake on, and put the hole, which won't burn, you put it above the fire, and there's your whole cake. Yeah, how do I know? I asked Lavinia Cash. She's from down there. Made whole cakes. Hadn't made whole cakes, brother. I said, no, what in the world? A whole cake. Should have known it was a whole cake on a hoe. But who would do that? This is crazy. The word hang nail. What's a hang nail? Little thing that's skinned by your finger that hurts a hang nail? Hangs by the nail, I guess. Well, my nail isn't hanging by it. It's hanging by a nail. It's not hanging by a nail. It's beside the nail. Oh, language. poor old Paul had trouble with his Greek or something here. But he sure didn't have trouble with his revelation. Let such and one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we be indeed when we are present. See? For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves amongst themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For if we stretch, for we stretch not ourselves beyond the measure God gave, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you, also preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without measure, that is other men's labors, but having hope when your hope is your faith is increased, that you should be enlarged by, we should be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel and so on. What's he saying here? He said, you look at me as though I don't have what it takes.
As though I'm not the one sent here to bring you into Christ and to set you there where you want to go. Here, I want to tell you something. I am that one. He said, you're fooled by the outward appearance. Where's his big education? Oh, that book that Lloyd and I picked up. Oh, it hit Brother Branham because, you see, he's a crazy one. He wasn't one. That's an I. He believed in the oneness of the Godhead, that there is one God, period, but he wasn't oneness according to doctrine. Or Jesus only, what do you want to call it? And they said he hadn't gone to a reputable school of theology. Come and eat my puke. It's better than your puke. Brother, sister, I'm going to be witnessing that day by the grace of Almighty God. That's the sin that bugs me and riles me up. These half-baked, moronic, spiritual nincompoops. That bunch of Pentecostals like in Canada. Oh, they had tried to refute the Church 8 book where I showed positivity by science that we are animal, like Brother Branham said. And those prenatal cells, my brother, sister, by injection at their liver, they go right to your liver. And they proved it by tracers on them, isotopic tracers. But the big Pentecostal, the big mouth, big shot. Had to go to the MD, like McCormick, over here in Spencerville, Ohio. little Methodist twit. I said the osteopath is identical to an MD, but he has a plus. And he went to Greenberg, the little Jew. An Antichrist. And said, what about a doc? And he said, it's a lie. You've got hospitals in Dayton, osteopathic. It's about three. Give drugs to everything an MD does. Plus. You're stupid preachers. Yes. Stupid. Spiritually insane and corrupt. Couldn't get past the fourth grade kid. I've got the articles. We've got the proof. But they open their mouths to show their stupidity. The Pentecostals, the cream of the crop. I'm talking because I was a Pentecostal years and years of it. But the night I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I knew Pentecost was wrong. Could never stand the organization and the filth of it. But I seen the glory of God in his scripture. That doesn't floor me at all. It makes me love him and want to be like that. But I'm telling you, I don't want to be a Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. I don't want to be an independent either. I want to be a dependent child of Almighty God from the roots. The test is the word. You do what you want about it. He made a good point. You don't look at the vessel. You look at what's there beyond the vessel. And I'll fool you every single time, just like Brother Branham did. And so will every servant of Christ fool everyone that's going to be fooled. But I bring you the same challenge, Brother Branham. When did I ask you for a plug nickel? When did they take food off your table? When do anything you can put your finger on? Except I can get a hot and a $2 pistol. Just like the prophet said, I'll pop off. And I popped off of some, and I'll do it again too. You bet your sweet life, because Lee Vale doesn't change. He wished he could, but he's not gonna. I went to the prophet. Don't worry. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to stand at the white throne. Not going to be some little sweet experience and dance around like a fairy. Or the tooth fairy, or the good fairy, or the other kind of fairy. You don't know. Be sober and sincere, but I'm not afraid. Why should I be afraid? I've given you the word exactly, word by word. I believe by a vindicated prophet. I haven't tried to change one thing, but just show you what he's talking about. I hope I'm doing it. I don't know. I can't prove anything. I don't know. But notice their fruit. How do you know? How do you know it isn't an orange branch? Because the branch is bearing grapefruit. The branch is all right. It's living in the tree. But it's bearing a grapefruit. It isn't like the first branch. And if the church as a branch says it believes Jesus is Christ, the same as day and forever, and then deny his power, deny his works, deny his word, it's lying about the truth. The church branch, that believes in Jesus Christ will do the works of Jesus Christ. It'll have the life of Jesus Christ. In other words, it'll be a part of the tree. Original tree. And if it doesn't, it's talking now about the fruit, which is the word. No matter if the life is pouring into it, every single sign is perfect as to its character, as to its gifts.
Still wrong. Though I give my body to be burned and have not love. And remember, love is not an attribute of God at this point. Love is God. That's why I can't understand these two soul characters. Brother Branham said the soul is the nature of the spirit. A nature is not the thing itself. It is what determines the thing itself. But he said we had three parts, a soul, a spirit, and a body. And he said the spirit goes first when a man dies, but the soul lingers. How could the atmosphere linger when the guy's dead? So what he's saying, the soul gives an atmosphere to the spirit. It's down in there where the gene is when you're born again. The deep is answered to the deep, and the life begins to change, and it changes toward the word. How is it all these people have this great feeling to just obey the word? Thou shalt not commit adultery. I'll never touch a woman. No, never let a man touch me, and so on and so on. And see, oh, I'll never, there's no stealing. And never lie, never lie. But Elijah's going to come, and it's there in that man. Oh, shut up! In that hillbilly? I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I love. I give. I do it all. Why, Brother Bale, I've had a ministry all these years, but I'm just as good as he is. Nobody said you weren't. Where are you? Where are you? Where was Israel? I don't know. What are you going to do about it? No matter if the life is pouring into it. If it isn't predestinated from the root, if it's not according to the genetic pattern, it'll bear grapefruit every time. Go off the word into something different from the word. But if it's a predestinated life in the roots, that is the original life, it'll bear Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Since it's the word coming up through the root, right up to now, all the way through, which he is the root, the beginning of time. What is that one? Let's take a look at it. Revelation 3 and 14. These things set the amen, the faithful and true, and it's the beginning of the creation of God. When it all started. Coming right up now to full headship taking over. Genesis 18. John 4. You think they're going to take that? Well, you say, why are you saying that? Because that's what the prophet said. I'm not smart, I'm stupid. Took me 18 years after his death to figure that one out, to know exactly where we stood on it. That Hebrews 13 and 8 was not Mark 16. Anybody can have Mark 16. But one man has Genesis 18. Haven't had a man like this for 2,000 years. Started 4,000 years ago with Moses and ended up 4,000 years later with William Branham. Notice. Let's look in here. Read this over again. The church, the branch, the church that believes in Jesus Christ will do the works of Jesus Christ. It'll have the life of Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't, no matter if the life is pouring in it and it isn't predestined to the roots, it'll bear grapefruit every time. That sounds like an absolute contradiction unless you can understand it. Again, the branch, that's the church. I don't care what it is. That believes in Jesus Christ will do the works of Jesus Christ. And it'll have the life
of Jesus Christ. It's a part of that tree from the roots. And if it doesn't have that. Now, what's he been talking about? An evidence. A branch in a tree that's growing, putting out a grapefruit and a lemon and a tangelo. And there's also many of them now. But he said it's not bearing a true orange. Now, what was Jesus? He was the Word. He was the full concept of God, the full concept of Almighty God, the complete wisdom, the everything of God, starting into human display. So when you look there, you say, where then is the start? It starts with the genetics, the genetic pattern. And you know as well as I do that that genetic pattern can go haywire, and the whole thing is haywire. And you can tell today, even proof the scripture by Brother Branham, by they're taking the DNA and the RNA and they're splicing and they're turning out the hybrid and it's going to take the world over to destruction. That's the exact physical picture of the spiritual. Now he said, you take that life of Christ and you can see it pouring through a vessel, producing these things. And go back and check it with the pattern, which is the Word. And the Word is a revelation. And they're off the revelation. You know they haven't got it. Now, who's going to believe anything but stupid jerks like us who have to depend upon a revelation to get out of here? The identification of the branch is Hebrews 13 and 8. And we, the fruit of it, if we believe Hebrews 13 and 8 correctly and connect that with Matthew 16, flesh and blood cannot reveal it. Only the Father which is in heaven. And Jesus himself said, not my words, not my life, not anything could reveal it to you but God himself. In other words, there is no physical way that you can know that you know. It's a spiritual thing. And they say, well, you guys are all puffed up. You're a bunch of stupid souls. That's exactly what Paul taught. He said, those that are perfect, you've come to a place of induction into an elite lodge. It's an elite bride. And the password is a revealed word. So, give the password. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Well, just a minute, that sounds good, but a lot of other folk are saying that. What's exactly Hebrews 13 and 8 mean? Well, that's Mark 16. Withdraw at a priestly distance until you learn what it is. You can try to approach one more time. The part does not contain the whole. Hebrews 13 and 8 is the whole. Mark 16 is a part of the whole and thereby contains a part but does not contain the whole of the whole. A slice of pie is not the whole pie. Let's let me go a little further and get back to the old family stomping grounds of this church. And that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A little teensy-weensy drop of the life of God does not constitute God, though it is identical to all that is in God. And all that was in God poured into Christ is here now in the headship. In the complete revealed word, there's nothing more to add to it. Let any man try. Eighth messenger, this messenger, that messenger, he's out on a limb. Notice. But it's what they produce. That is what comes out of them, which is what? The word. That tells you the difference. By their words, said Jesus, you shall know them. You shall know what? What kind of a branch is it? So I talked to people all my life when I was a Christian. As a Christian, I'd say, hey, what do you believe? Well, I believe that in the Trinity. Hallelujah. I know where he stands. He's either Roman Catholic or some Protestant. Okay. I believe in eternal security. Amen. He's a good old Calvinist. I believe in Father. Oh, he's a good old Armenian. So you ask questions. And pretty soon you know just what they are by the Word. You ask us. That's where you're supposed to get together and talk the Word. Men and women. Talk it. That people know. Don't go out there and try to start something. Don't say you're out there in the street. They said they're talking to one another. Ah, boy, listen. I tell you, you let people, I don't care who they are, in this message or whatever, you let them start talking. Doesn't take you minutes to know if they know what you're talking about. There's a certain type of expression in this message that is absolutely mysterious. And again, I'm not trying to make anything out of this. I just want you to know this, that this is a mysterious thing because very, 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 very few are going to get it. You know why? Because they can't give up their own teaching. They can't give up the old genetic pattern. Do you want to change the color of your eyes? Well, I'll bop you in the eye with my fist if that'll help you. But that won't do it. I got to get in there and change the genetic pattern. And the genetic pattern is the understanding of the Word. And that's right, because there's an understanding in your genetic pattern, the DNA and the RNA, how it's going to combine together. And therefore, what it will produce. And don't you know there's something very, very funny of the fact that the serpent, the beast, so like a man, could mate with Eve and produce a child, except maybe for coloration. It looked exactly like Abel, but a whole lot bigger. And you got all the world out here that can produce exactly what we are like, and a whole lot bigger and better. And they're hybrids. And let's get the picture. Noah was the only true, legitimate human being. One out of the eight. And the eight out of billions. How many true bride will there be at the end time? With the genetic pattern, with the Word from the root. Now, that's why Brother Branham said, press into it. By their fruits you shall know them. Men do not gather grapes off of a thistle branch. Now, I'm going to disagree with the punctuation here, so watch your text. Men do not gather grapes off a thistle, even though the thistle be right in the grapevine. That could be possible, but the fruit will tell it. I do not put my punctuation there. I put it this way. Men do not gather grapes off of a thistle branch. Semicolon. Exclamation mark, or single matter. Even though the thistle be growing right in the grapevine, and then in parenthesis, if you want, that could be possible, close parenthesis, but the fruit will tell it. You hear what I'm reading? Now, man cannot gather grapes off of a thistle branch. Even though that thistle is growing right out of another plant and taking a life off it. Now, that could be possible, what? That plant is living off the life that's not its own, but it'll eventually betray itself because it has to bear fruit. That's what he's saying here. Now, you know that the orchid and the air flowers and these parasites live on other life. And you know, there's that, that poison oak. I've seen it start growing up a tree and pretty soon kills the whole tree. So it's living off the life. Its branches, little roots are right in there. Millions of them, right into the bark. And man, it's a pretty splendiferous looking thing. It's quite an attraction. I was amazed when I saw it first time. I said, that's something to look at. This old vine done plum took over. But you know what? It couldn't bear the needles on the cedar tree. It was taken over. It was bearing its own leaves and berries and stuff. Yeah. And that's what he's talking about. So that didn't be done. Now, youth, how many people are going to believe that outside of us? Now, we accept it. We say, hey, I got to get them. Now, Brother Branham was trying to show me the Lamb's Book of Life. Man, all the time he could afford to give me out in Tucson, 2 and 3 hours a day, well, he think he'd give me that. Me running back and forth and him coming from hunting and trying to relax like that. And I'm standing there and I'm trying to get that. You talk about a tough deal. Hours. I couldn't get it. I finally just had to believe him. And then I could get somewhere. And I'm still struggling over some things. Like when he, not over anymore, over the fact that the bride does not go through tribulation. I know the Greek on those things, study right alongside the best of them. That is to say, I took the best Greek. I wasn't the best student. I just took the best Greek student's best works. I could almost put anybody under the table by showing them, hey, it won't work. Well, Brother Brand said that was thus saith the Lord. He said, that's thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah, that's what it is. I don't care if I ever understood it or not, but I understood it later on. You've got to believe these things. If you don't believe them, you throw them in the junk can, you never become real. You see? Okay, fruit of the vine is teaching. What fruit then are we eating? Are we eating the fruit in season? Now, this is a categorical doctrine. It is not a cover-up or an evasion of the issue. What he says here. The fruit of the season is Hebrews 13 and 8 by Genesis 18, which is necessary to have anything to do with Revelation 10, 1 to 7, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and so on. Now, what is their fruit? He says. You can tell by the fruit. It's the word, the fruit for the season. That's what it is they're teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time it is? Man's doctrine, denomination doctrine, or God's word for the season. Now, Brother Branham, categorically, in doing God a service, in Christ the mystery of God revealed, established himself as the one man who could tell you the season and what the word was. So you go to him. That's where all these people say they believe Brother Branham funk. They say, well, the scripture says here. The scripture, I don't care what you say the scripture says. Don't come to me with your murder. Get out. Oh, how some people are so stupid. Preacher, stupid. Let anybody fill the pulpit. Why didn't we guard this pulpit? Because I've got brains on somebody. No! I'm too smart just to have brains. I'm responsible to God. And I know what this message says, and I'm telling you word for word what it says. Because I'm going word by word. And if you're going to tell me that spirit of prophecy is not genuine, you can do what you want. Go someplace else. Be my guest. You're spreading around Europe now that Lee Dale was called doctor by William Branham because he didn't trust me with a degree. So therefore, I'm not worthy to be trusted. I'm a false preacher and false teacher. Well, my wife caught that in her. She said, Brother Branham, why are you calling my husband a doctor? You know he doesn't have a degree, yet he said an earned degree. Is he a liar? Go ahead and make him one. I don't care. Do what you want, William Branham. But I'm another horse. So I hope to be in the same race. Get in there not too late either. Well, he said, anybody that knows the Bible like he does deserves to be called one. I'm not trying to defend myself. I'm just telling you. I don't care what you believe. You can join the crowd. And that came out of one of my very best friends' church. I don't need to be defended. I'm telling you flat. You believe what you want. But I'm preaching with authority here on the grounds that I believe that I know what the prophet said. And understand these things. That's why I take a very tough stand in this pulpit. And you got to forgive me for it. And if you think I'm bumptious and all, you can do anything you want. You can sell me over to anybody you want. Betray me. Do anything you want. It's going to happen. It could happen. I don't know. Now listen. These branches, Luther, Wesley, Pentecostal, are all cut off because they are fallen stars. Not that they were fallen stars themselves, but the men that followed. They have the truth. You see? Now, today, for Brother Branham to categorically place himself as the branch of John 14 and 12 would demand the evidence that he was that one. Now, every legitimate scholar of theology and church history, having examined Brother Branham, knew that he came the closest. Dr. Otto Witt in Germany praised him highly. I wish I had the letters that I had in my possession, the men that wrote Brother Branham, King George, President of Finland, and different ones. I don't have it. The man that betrayed Brother Branham to the IRS through lies, because Brother Branham was not crooked and didn't do one thing wrong. In fact, he overpaid. Like the most of us do, because we don't know the law, so we therefore say, just rook us, and they'll never give it back. Satan will take you down the river, and he won't give it back either, brother, sister. The devil and the IRS is all the same thing. It's all the same lousy, rotten world government, just like the time of Jesus Christ. Let's face it. So the guy betrayed him, and he's evidently the one that took all the files. But I'm witness at the white throne judgment, I had in my hand letters from De Courcy. Yes, that's a name I couldn't remember. They wanted William Branham, who could have visions, to go behind the Iron Curtain with vision. And he was willing to do it, like Elisha. But God withheld him. I held in my hand letters from George, King George. I'm standing here with my hand raised, the Bible in front of me. And President of Finland. And many letters I don't recall. And I saw De Courcy turn on Brother Branham because this woman Livingston, descendant of, of the Livingston, you know, from the Crimean War and all, the first, like, Red Cross nurse and all that kind of stuff. She had said she had cancer, and Brother Branham didn't discern she had or not. And then they said they found out she had diabetes, so that made Brother Branham a liar. When flesh came on her bones and she got saved and healed? And you quibble like a bunch of jerks? Merciful God, I don't care if you've got dandruff in excess or AIDS. If God heals you, shut up and glorify God. Don't be a jerk. Tell whose side you're on. That time a woman took a snapshot. She felt impelled to in the meetings of the Carolinas. They came up with a death mask on. And Brother Branham said some little word that wasn't just perfect with the complete scenario. And this guy, like a, oh, such a marvelous, sweet Christian, hallelujah, who so far surpassed Brother Branham, the great liar now, who made one little mistake. Standing there, self-righteous, it wasn't just right. I said, listen, bud, is that a picture, is it not? He said, yeah. I said, why don't you shut up then? I'll look you all in the eye this morning, everyone, if I can reach your eyes. I don't want to say the same thing. Where do you stand? Some little tiddlywink thing? And you're going to miss the great picture? Fat. When I leave the pulpit, I'll be nice and sweet and kind. Don't worry. Take your dinner. Who wants to go to dinner with me? Pay for all your dinner. No problem. We've got enough money. Not here to take your hair off and make a hair mattress for myself. I'm not here running you down. I'm giving you principles, brother, sister. Principles you've got to stand up to the same as I do, and the going may get a whole lot rougher still. Fallen stars. This new branch demands a vindication. Is it a new branch? I'll never get to it. There's no use. I've got about four paragraphs now. Here's another one of those long sermons, 24 or something. Who cares? Now time gets away so quickly. Thank you, Brother Branham. You said it for me. You being a vindicated prophet, I go right along. But I'm sure that you who are present, and I'm sure across the nation, that's by telephone, can see what I'm trying to tell you, for we don't have much longer to stay on it. So now you can see that the anointing gets on the unjust. The anointing gets on the unjust. Whoa, what anointing. The opening of the seven seals. Revelation 5. We saw it open. Well, let's go to Revelation 22. When it's open, and now you can't shut it. And he said in his verse 10, seal not the sayings of the prophets in this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. The opening of that book dooms you, whether you're just or unjust. That's why Brother Branham said mercy's cut off. You got it or you ain't got it. It's over. The blood off the mercy seat, so to speak. So to speak, or definitely. I never can tell on or off the mercy seat because it said it fell on the ground with the elements. I don't worry about it. Accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish, still doing it. Figure speech or legitimate phraseology, I know. He that's filthy still. Righteous, righteous still. Holy, holy still. I'm right now ready to come. The opening of the seals. There you are. And at this time, the opening of the seals, the great mystery of this great anointing on true and false, just and unjust, righteous and unrighteous. Here it is. So, well, I don't think I believe that. I don't care what anybody believes. I believe it. Saved my life. Hallelujah. I'm for all for this. In fact, I can have a real rip snorting time up here just preaching. Stick around. I got no problem. Anointing gets on the unjust and the false teachers and causes them to do exactly what God told them not to do. What did he tell them not to do? Not to teach error. See? But they'll do it anyhow. Why? They can't help it. How can the thistle be anything else but a thistle? No matter how much good rain is sprinkled on it, it's got to be a thistle. That's the reason Jesus said they'll be so close it would deceive the elect, which are in the roots, that is original word, if it were possible, but it isn't possible. A wheat can do nothing but bear wheat. That's all it can bear. Brother Branham was wheat. He went out and planted wheat. A man came behind and planted tares. They both grew up. A wheat can bear nothing but wheat. This makes the prophet infallible. And we simply must, with no recourse, believe as he does to be wheat, to show ourselves. Ourselves are vindicated by it. A thorn has to bear briars. It cannot bear the word. A wheat has to bear wheat. It must bear the word. It must have his testimony. The other testimony will fake you out every time. Now remember, brother, sister, we are not discrediting fruit and love and everything else. That's there, but that'll fake you out every time. In fact, Brother Branham painted the picture that the Pharisees, the kind old priest, was much more loving than Jesus on the surface. Do you think the kind old priest would beat out his loyal church members who made a buck and cut him in on it? Oh, no, not the kind old priest. William Branham, do you think Oral would turn back $1.5 million now that he's on the chopping block? If God may disconnect his umbilical cord of life here. What a tragedy a man would say such things. But perhaps God inspired him to do it. Let his spirit get down. William Branham turned down $1 million. I never turned down $1 million, but I sure turned down plenty of money. It's in the hundreds of thousands. I lie not to you. Legitimately, I could stand here real close to millionaire. Solid cash and assets. But I don't sell the gospel. No way. You do what you want. I can't do it. No way. You can't either. You're not sitting in the sound of my voice and have some other seed planted in you. Now remember, notice, God is not the author of organization. The devil's the author of organization. I've proved that by the word back and forth and over and over and over. I won't have time to go in this morning. We know that God never did organize people together like that, make an organization. It was hundreds of years after the death of the last apostles, disciples, before they ever had the first organization. It's always proved a failure. Sure, they got to take authority and even kill people to get in. If it isn't, why aren't we together in love today? Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. And the fact of the matter is, why aren't we then under the true headship of Almighty God, the Word? What makes organization? Descent upon the Word. Everyone say, no creed but Christ, no word but the Bible. Methodist, I subscribe. Baptist, I subscribe. Pentecostal, I subscribe. Okay, Pentecostal. Now, if you subscribe, you'll all speak in tongues. Hold it, bud. That's of the devil. Wonderful agreement. All believe in the Word. What word? Well, they're going to come to home on their age pretty soon where there won't be a disagreeable word anymore. They'll get together somehow. They'll get together. All through the period. If it isn't, why aren't the Baptists all in love? Why aren't the works of God following us and every church on the same thing, the same word? These things that separate men, brotherhood, were farther from God than ever. Okay? These people are aiming for ecumenism. They are aiming to get together. And their love will be a compromise of the Word. And thereby deny Christ. See what it is doing. See what's doing it. If they want to believe they're okay, they'll do it by denying the prophet. Then where do you stop? Where do you stop? Well, you say they deny the prophet that. Well, it's like I told years ago, dear lady, she's dead now, poor old sister. I forget what her name is anyway. She said, Brother Bale, the trouble is, she said, people just disagree on the word. Why would we just forget the word and just go to Christ? I said, just a minute. That's where you made your mistake. She died Pentecostal, poor thing. Perhaps she made it, you know, being another age, I don't know. It's election anyway. But how can you be elect in this hour with the guidelines that are vindicated? See, look, brother, sister, having a good heart doesn't mean you're a Christian. No. Didn't look like Paul had a good heart. Now, we're farther from God than we ever were, speaking of the churches. Why? Because the articles of faith separate us. 62. Now we're told... Oh, tell me, God, John. Oh, okay. Now we're told that all the old things happen, for examples, for our teaching, reproof, admonition, that all the old things of the New Testament, Old Testament rather, happen, foreshadowed to see what would be in the New Testament in our days, just like if you'd never seen your hand, you looked up and you saw a shadow on the wall, as my hand would be from the light. If it's got five fingers here in the shadow when I hold it to the wall, and you move your hand that's going toward the negative, toward the shadow, it's got to come to five fingers. So it tells you then, if there's something in the Old Testament that's a type or a shadow, it's an illustration, if the real thing is going to happen today. It's got to show up sometime as the real McCoy. Like you got five fingers here in a shadow, you keep moving it, it'll come to the shadow and the hand be one. No more shadow. Okay. As the Bible tells us, the Old Testament being a shadow, a type of new things, or the things that were to come, not the very things that are, but a shadow, a type of the things that are to come. Types are not the real thing. They foreshadow them, and then the real thing materializes, proving the shadow is right in all things of continuity. Okay. So, God's revelation and the response of man is always the same. That doesn't change. All right. I threw that in there to let you know whatever it is in the Old Testament, as God says, and a response, it'll be the same today. 63. Let us go back and see if this thing ever was in any other age. Are you willing? So we'll go know to prove this back forth by the Word, not by some man's idea, some theory. I don't care who he is, any man, myself, anybody else. If he speak not according to the law and the prophets, there's no light in him. Now, that's what Armstrong says. And they hammer on the Sabbath. He's dead now. He never was right. The man was, I don't know what he had. He sure didn't have the truth. They'll tell you that. Yet if you read Dr. Gamble's book, based on the Sabbath, Armstrong hasn't got a prayer. See? Won't do it. Won't do it, see? Now, Brother Brandon says, if you don't speak according to the law and the prophets, there's no light in you. Now, what is his interpretation of that scripture? That means to speak according to the law and prophets, then, is to see all type and shadows come together and materialize exactly as set forth. Now, what's the Sabbath? It's rest. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. So, therefore, the rest is based upon the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, and that shedding of the blood brought forth the Holy Spirit, which brought forth the rest. In other words, which you've got to have the Holy Spirit to come into rest. Now listen carefully. What happens today? Christ himself cannot appear in human form so that the blood can be shed. But watch. They crucify the Son of God afresh to themselves, which means the blood is shed once more, as it were, to bring forth the life that brings the rest. Huh? Okay, 2 Thessalonians. Let's take a look at it. First chapter. Seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation then to trouble you. And you, that's 6th verse, first chapter 1. And you are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed in heaven with his mighty angels. Now, the rest is the true Sabbath, which is the Holy Ghost. So, when the Holy Ghost appears, there he is. That's when you enter into rest. But it must be when they deny him and crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. So you're right back to Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost himself came down. The baptism giving way to the baptizer. Showing the blood is efficacious as it never was before to the believer. But they lose the effect of the blood because they turn that down. Now, I know people can laugh and ha, 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 but they still don't know how that cloud got up there 27 miles high. And there's no way for a cloud to form. And who brought it there? Oh, I know, I know, I know. We're fools. Well, at least I will say this. I am happy to be a fool for something which is evidently good to be a fool about. Not some guesswork. Not something that's based upon vomit on every table. So the full life flows today. And the Bible said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. And what's your life? It is spirit. Spirit and life is the same thing. But when you talk about spirit, you cannot depend upon a manifestation. But when you talk about life, you do depend upon a manifestation. Because you can't tell anything is there if there isn't manifestation. And spirit stays apart from manifestation on its own because no man has seen God nor ever can see God. But life is a different story. So when life, Christ, who is our life, shall phanero, completely prove the life. And the proving of the life, my brother, sister, is ironic. The stratagem is to fool everybody. So, oh, great William Branham, bring on the great revival. Hallelujah, you can do it. Amen and amen. Bring us back to God. Do this and do that. I am come to bring the revelation. What did you say? Hillbilly, tell us again. I have the infallible revelation. And I will tell you, 1 Corinthians 13:9, that which is perfect has come. I will show you what it's all about in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Vindication of a great apostle who had the right to bring the word of Almighty God. I am here as that one, the Omega. You are, huh? Oh boy, here goes Elijah again. We've been through that. The old Dowie thought he was Elijah. Everybody thinks he's Elijah. Everybody thinks he's Elijah. I got news. Elijah ain't gonna come. Oh, I got news. He is gonna come. Don't think I don't know what I'm talking about, brother, sister. I know the Pentecost, the Baptist, and the whole bunch. I was part of them for years. But they're not part of me anymore. Hallelujah. I'm not proud. I'm just telling the truth. That doesn't mean anything. I don't have to be part of them, part of me. I can still miss them. And be heathen, atheist. Where are your roots? You know, even the roots of the certain trees and things, they seek certain minerals. Sure. What about the little kid that chewed the rubber on bicycle pedals? Sulfur. What are you chewing on this morning? Huh? Some old ecclesiastical creed? Phooey. 64. Let's go back and find out if this ever happened to show us an example. In other words, let's find this in the Old Testament, this we're talking about. The anointed one's the end time. We could go back now in the Bible of Exodus, speak of a character named Moses. 1, who was anointed prophet of God. 2, sent of God. 3, with the word of God. 4, with the will of God, regeneration. As God's word always runs in continuity, he did nothing until he revealed to his prophets first. Amos said so. And then he did it. Now, he cannot lie. He can't lie and be God. That's good. You can lie and be the devil. Take your pick. Tell a lie, who do you belong to? Tell the truth, who do you belong to? Nice thinking. Okay. There's not a lie in him, and he cannot change it. If he does, then he's not God. He's not God if he made a mistake. Okay, he's got to be infinite. And infinite cannot make a mistake. See? So whatever God says, that's eternally right. Now, he's making a solemn statement to be reckoned with. And Paul is talking about God and the prophet. So, if God lied, Moses lied. If Moses lied, God lied. If God told the truth, Moses told the truth. If Moses told the truth, God told the truth. They are inseparable. Now, that's all there is to it. Bring on the prophets. Well, I don't think I want a prophecy. I got the Bible. Oh, come on. I read where it says here in Ephesians, when the Spirit of wisdom comes, and they say, hey, the Ephesians already got the Holy Ghost, so nobody knows what this is. I know what it is. William Branham taught me. I know what it is. Lee Vale. Common, no good, stupid jackass. Hadn't got the brains of a lobster coming out of the ring. Couldn't fight his way out of the paper bag. But he knows. You know. I'll scream to the white throne. And I won't back away. Because the prophet said so. Daniel 70 week. Theologians don't know the baptism gives way to the baptizer. A lot of our brethren who say they understand what I'm preaching don't know it either. You know it this morning? I could corny, you know. I could ask you a whole bunch of questions. I've got to write the question. You see, I'm a teacher. Let's see if I'm teaching. Am I too abstract, too dogmatic, too something or other? Is it too hard? Sit here 5, 6 years? Catch it like that, can't? My God, there's something got to be caught. But if you're as far as you know there's a prophet that told the truth, that's good. All right, I'll take that too. What did he say? Never mind what he said. Just believe it. Well, can you believe it not knowing something about it? Can you believe without giving up what you got? Can you confess your table is full of vomit? That's a good question. You do here. Well, elsewhere, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not responsible for any church outside of this church. Those that get the tapes on the outside have been responsible for some time because they used to go to their places. They don't have pastors. I'll take the responsibility. For anybody else, forget it. I'm responsible for one more person. But I'm responsible here. Now, God promised Abraham that his seed would be a strange and strange land 400 years. He'd bring them out with a great hand and might and power, show them signs and wonders amongst the people that they dealt with. The time of promise drew nigh, but the people had forgotten about that promise. They had their Pharisees and Sadducees amongst them and so forth, denominations. But all of a sudden, there came along God and fulfilled his word, but he did it apart from any of them. God never in any day or any time ever called a prophet out of a denomination. Why? As that prophet would be so twisted up, he couldn't follow God. He followed the denomination. He'd have to stay the denomination, see? Moses, a man sent from God, not denomination, with the word of God. And on his journey, taking Israel into the promised land, strictly with the commandments of God. That's it. I'm going into the word. What about your fruit? Well, I've got a little bit of fruit, but I'm not counting on that. That is character, virtue. Sobriety, all those things. I'm counting on the fruit of the word. That's what came forth from here in this hour. That's what came from God. I've got it. I'm going in. That's what Israel turned down. See? They went into the pillar of fire and a prophet. They turned everything. They wouldn't take it. Now, strictly with the commandment of God, going to promised land. He made another prophet, another anointed one, that had a genuine anointing of the same Holy Spirit that was upon Moses. That's right. He was Balaam. We're all acquainted with him. Well, the very things, the same things that Balaam said are still taking place from about 2,800 years to now. Thou art like a unicorn of Israel. Blessed, whosoever blesses you will be blessed. Cursed, who curses you? Your strength, you're strong and you're mighty. How righteous are they, tens of Jacob? See, he couldn't help himself. Yet he came there purposing in his heart to curse the people. Notice, Balaam was not out to lead was out to lead Israel astray. So are these men today out to lead the bride astray and people astray. And the bride is the target. You're the target of a false word. You've been the target of a false word. Come on. Go over this tape. Challenge, go on to what I'm saying this morning. Listen to the things I'm emphasizing and stressing. You are the target. There's a book written, You Are Not the Target. That is a book of psychology and physiology. I am telling you, you are the target. But you have the devil's answer. A vindicated prophet. The branch. You got a word. Absolutely. But that's too simple. It goes over the heads. It's too simple. See? Same word. No, they didn't have the same word. Everything but the same word. That's right. That's what it was. You see? Okay, our time's gone. I'm going to start right back with this paragraph, and we're going to read a lot of scripture from this point. Read whole chapters. That's Wednesday. Lord willing. I'm willing. You're willing. The Lord's willing. I don't know. Paul said, we're willing. He said, if we go to perfection. But he said, God wasn't willing. And this hour, God is willing. Okay? That is, what's that, 4 pages? I don't know. Not very many pages, not many paragraphs. In paragraph 56, right? 56 to 66. 10 paragraphs. My, my, we're really kicking up the sand this morning, are we? Okay, Lord bless you all. Sorry we couldn't go further, but that's the way things are. See, we can take our time, but look, maybe there'll be no next week, and we'll be glad we stayed. Maybe there'll be, you know, all this to read to. Maybe the Lord will come, you know, and say, that's, well, that's enough. Maybe we're taken out, maybe death. Who knows? Job lost all his children in one fell swoop. Death isn't the bad thing. It's being unprepared. What's the preparation? We were embalmed with death instead of life. If we are embalmed with life, which means put away with life, you know, that's what's getting our physical structure ready. That's true. If you're embalmed with the word, so to speak, you've had this word pumped into your veins, your spiritual veins, you're going to rise. You'll see Brother Branham first, you know. You won't see Jesus. I can't give you a false hope. I'm going to give you a false hope. No matter what you see, you're going to be happy. See, that's going to be real nice. You have a chance to see what you would have been up there had you been like Christ. You get your theophany. There you'll have a good time. I'm telling you a good time, and I think I should get there ahead of you. You know, that is, be nice. Brother Branham got ahead of us. And you're going to come up first, right? That's beautiful. Everything worked out. So the Lord bless you. Let's rise and meet us next time. 7:30 Monday night. Keep your prayer list up. Keep praying. Remember, deacons, if it's not this week, next week, some prayer amongst yourself what to do. If you want to ask me questions, I'll be happy to help you. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we want to praise you for love, mercy, and grace that little song says that the prophet brought out so beautifully. And seeing the grace of God, just absolutely God, you plunked down a prophet, as it were, right in our lap. It's just marvelous to think he was at that river and he didn't know what was going to happen. He knew if something was to happen, sure, he knew that. But didn't know where, when, and how, and you did it. And here we are, Lord, the same thing we didn't know. And here we were in plain view of you in the prophet, revealing yourself in a prophet, and these mighty great things, and we're very happy for it. And Lord, again, I want to ask you now that the time of emphasis is over, and the punch has stopped punching, to forgive me, Lord, if I've been a little obstreperous here. Too hard, O Lord. Too rough, hanging too tough, Lord. When in myself, I got nothing to hang tough for or tough with. Hope I haven't made any misrepresentation, Father, any way, shape, and form. Hurt anybody's feelings, that's not the idea. But to know, Lord, I've stood corrected before you. And I want the people to understand that I want them to stand corrected too, Lord. And in a state of fellowship and love with each other that doesn't know any limits. Because the overflowing has come to our midst, O God. And when there's an overflowing like the waters out of the east gate in Ezekiel, past the hip, you're no longer to the thigh. Waters to flood us right over, to carry us over. Then, Lord, how wonderful our fellowship ought to be. There ought not to be anything standing in the way. There ought not to be anything, Lord, that circumvents it, but everyone with one accord, real unanimity, just press in to have this fellowship and love. And Lord God, we can be as smart as the word if we want to be. We proved it ourselves. When people didn't like us, we could make ourselves liked. If they didn't love us and want to assimilate us, we could literally make ourselves that way. Then how much more